Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you.
May God bless the preaching of his word.
Good morning. It is truly an honor and privilege to be with you here this morning and also have the privilege of opening God's word. Keep your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 12. I'm grateful for the invitation of the church, not only to come here and present and share my heart for ministry, but also get the privilege of opening the word as we set our minds on global missions. We have a common goal to see God's gospel advance in the nation. You see, if you have been a believer even for a short period of time, you know that God has given each one of us a commission. Right? We call it the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Or as one of the gospel puts it, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you've heard that this is not a command given just to the pastors or missionaries or to someone who is in a ministry position. This is a command given to us by our Lord to every believer of Jesus Christ. If you are a believer here this morning, you play a part in God's mission. And again, I want to emphasize this again. We play a part in God's mission. You see, this is not primarily our mission to reach the world with the gospel. It is ultimately God's mission to reach the world with the gospel. And you and I get to play a part in this. You and I get to be part of this. This is God's mission to reach the world, and in his sovereign plan, he has chosen us to play a significant role of preaching the good news, in taking the mission to our community and to the world. Today's passage teaches us greatly about how God advances his mission in this broken world. And as we study this great passage, I hope that we can all be challenged and encouraged to see the great role that we play in this mission. But more importantly than that, I hope that we can get the confidence and motivation in sharing the gospel as we see even the greater and ultimate role that God plays in his mission. The title of the message this morning is The Mission That Cannot Be Stopped. The mission that cannot be stopped. And the reason for this title is not because I have confidence on the impressiveness or the intelligence of missionaries or pastors or believers, or because I have confidence on the powerful missional institutions. But the reason for the title is because I have confidence on our sovereign, all-powerful God, who often uses ordinary, faithful believers to advance His kingdom in this world. Again, the mission cannot be stopped because it is God's mission. And here is what should pump us up this morning. You and I get to be part of it. You and I get to be part of it. In chapter 3, Paul indicates that this work of getting to preach Christ to the world around us is greater than the works of even what Moses did. Now, think about this. Moses not only wrote the scripture, he also gave us what we know as 10 commandments. But we get to preach Christ in all His glory to the world and plead with them to repent and put their trust in Lord and Savior for their eternal life. And God uses that, us flawed people, with our flawed messes at times, even broken words, to change people's heart and lead an unsaved person to repentance and faith so that their eternity is changed forever. Amen. Amen. I mean, brothers and sisters, is there a greater work that we can be part of than this? This is greater than parting of the Red Sea. This is greater than walking on the water. And you and I get to be part of this. So as Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 12, may we all, like him, strive to be bold preachers of the good news of the person and saving work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the nations. And in short form, that is what missions is, to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ here in our community and to the outermost part of the world. There is so much that we can unpack in the passages that we just read. But for the sake of time, this morning, I want to keep our focus on missions. So through our passages, I would like to present to you three reasons why we should be bold preachers of the gospel. Here's the first one. We should all be bold preachers of the gospel because this is ministry given to us by God. We're to be bold preachers of the gospel because this is the ministry given to us by God. Look at verse 1 again. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, Paul knows the hardship of living a Christian life on a mission. Paul had faced tremendous suffering for being a bold preacher of the gospel, isn't it? Thrown in jail from one place to another. Hated by the Jews. Hated by the Gentiles. Persecution from the people. Persecution from the priests, the government. And if that wasn't enough, his ship was wrecked on one of his mission journey. And on top of that, he gets beat by a snake. I think that's the worst of them. Paul faced great persecution for the gospel. So he had every reason to quit. Every reason to quit. But amidst all the suffering for the gospel's sake, Paul says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Why do we not lose heart? Why do we not quit when suffering is real? Even today, where there are many places in the world that will hate you, jail you, or even kill you for being a bold preacher of the gospel. I know several missionaries that have been jailed for and have been deported from Nepal for sharing the gospel. So why do we still want to go to Nepal? Paul says here first, because this is the ministry given to us by the mercy of God. By the mercy of God. Paul does not say I'm a bold preacher of the gospel because I'm gifted or I'm educated or I'm an apostle. And yes, he was all three. But he recognizes, and I hope that we all this morning also recognize that we are to be bold preachers of the gospel because this is the ministry given to us
by God out of his mercy. And he who has given us this ministry, if we are faithful to his calling, he will equip us. He will use us for his glory. And that is why Paul does not quit or lose heart, no matter what the suffering is. You see, for my family, God has called us to be the preachers of the gospel in Nepal. And as we head to Nepal, wherever we go, my question to you this morning is, where is your mission field? Where is your mission field? Is it to your family? Is it to your co-workers? Is it in your gym? Is it in your shopping center? Where is it? The harvest is plenty, like we read this morning. Where are you going to fulfill this ministry that God has given to you? What should definitely motivate us this morning to fulfill this ministry is the word mercy. The word mercy. By the mercy of God, we've been given the ministry of the gospel. We don't deserve it, neither should we be proud of this gift. Rather, we should humbly recognize that we are nowhere superior to anyone, but we are also wretched sinners who have received mercy by the grace of our God through the blood and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we sang that this morning. And the same Jesus who saved us has also commissioned us as his ambassador in this world with the message of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we who have received mercy should be keen to extend that mercy to others. See, a beggar who has been starving for days, when by grace receives a bread to eat, he does not become prideful, he becomes grateful. And now he's eager to tell other beggars where to find that bread. I was born and raised in Nepal, where when the gospel was first shared to my family, only 0.02% of the population of Nepal were Christians. 0.02%. We talk about unreached people groups. I was part of an unreached people groups. But by the mercy of God, he sent missionaries, prayed, equipped, supported, and sent out by churches like yours, who were bold in preaching the gospel, who in mid-90s traveled to Nepal for a retreat. They were not even missionaries to Nepal then. They came to do some trekking in the mountains. And upon arriving in Nepal, they shared the gospel with the owner of the hotel, who otherwise had no access to the gospel. By the mercy of God, the owner of the hotel got saved and he shared the gospel with his family and brothers and sisters. I am the son of that hotel owner. Amen. It is by the mercy of God and faithfulness of some great missionaries and mission-minded churches like yours that I stand in front of you as a redeemed man this morning. Amen. Each one of you who are believers here, God, in his mercy, sent someone with the gospel to you too. Brothers and sisters, we have tasted the mercy, the grace and salvation for eternal life from the bread of life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question this morning is, how keen are we to tell others about this bread of life? How keen are we? This is why Paul even says in verse 2, look at verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I love this statement that Paul gives right after verse 1. What Paul is teaching us here is that because the gospel ministry is the ministry given to us by God, by the mercy of God, we do not need any secret techniques or strategy. Or we don't need to tamper, alter, or be clever with our message to fulfill this ministry. We do not need to dilute the truth. Rather, we just need to be faithful to God's word and proclaim the simple gospel message of birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do not need to market the gospel. Rather, just faithfully proclaim it. The gospel itself is sufficient. And we will see in our second point that it is itself powerful enough to lead a lost soul to repentance and saving faith. We should be bold preachers of the gospel because this is the ministry given to us by the mercy of God. Secondly, we should be bold preachers of the gospel because it is God's method to bring people to salvation. We should be bold preachers of the gospel because it is God's method to bring people to salvation. The gospel is the good news about the person and saving work of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, it is the greatest need of this world that is blinded by the so-called gods of this world. See, the greatest need of the world that we live in is not to end poverty or hunger or climate change and such. Although we as Christians should be about it. But we have to realize that the greatest need of this world is that it is living and dying in sin. And in doing so, they are separated from God. And if that continues, there is an eternal condemnation waiting. Look at the extreme evilness of the world around you. And hopefully that it fuels us in some way to bring some urgency in us about the need and the importance of missions. Look at verses 3 and 4 in our passage. Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The sad reality of the world is that in sin nature, they don't just submit to God, but they are so blinded by God of this world, namely Satan, they are unable to see the light of the gospel. No, we all know that people that are blind are unable to see the light, right? You can argue and describe the color of the sky to a blind man all you want. But until they receive their sight, they will not fully understand it. Paul puts it even more bluntly in Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. Listen to this. He says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. This is the sad reality of the world. Therefore, we are not surprised if the world acts the way they do. But the important question to consider this morning is, how is someone who is blinded and unable to see ever get the sight to see the light of the gospel? How will they ever come to see their real self and understand the need for a savior? This is where this passage gives me goosebumps. Because look at what Paul writes in verses 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has sown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you see this? This is the part where I was jumping up and down in my chair as I was preparing this message. What great hope we find in these verses. Yes, the world is in darkness. Yes, the world is blinded by the gods of this world. And yes, they are unable to see the truth by themselves. But also big yes, that when we who have received the ministry of the gospel from God to go forth and faithfully proclaim Christ, when we faithfully proclaim that salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, God uses us flawed messengers with our message of Christ to shine the light in the hearts of those whom we will reach with the gospel. The same God who said, let there be light, now says to a blind herd, let there be sight. And he does that through his believers proclaiming the gospel to the lost world. That is why Paul says we proclaim Christ as Lord, not ourselves. And we know that famous hymn, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Brothers and sisters, what a great mission that you and I get to be part of. That is why I said in the beginning, this is greater than anything that we can be part of. Few things that I want us to think about from these verses. First, let us understand the greatest need of the world around us. The world is blinded to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Amidst that, God has commissioned us to preach the gospel to the world. But the glorious truth is that along with the commission, God has also given His power by His Spirit that is able to give sight to the blind, so that when we share the gospel, sinners repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Isn't that the mighty work, mighty power that is at work in the gospel ministry? That is why Paul famously said in Romans 1:16, "For I am unashamed of the gospel." Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. That is what gives Paul and missionaries and all of us believers the fuel to go to the world and proclaim the simple message of the gospel. Because it has the power of God invested in it that can change anyone's heart and lead them to repentance and saving faith. Three ways we can apply this in our life. First, understand that the gospel has the power of God invested in it. So go proclaim the simple yet eternity-changing message of the Christ to the world. Secondly, we preach Christ and not ourselves. We don't need clever methods or words of our own to reach the world. We just need to be faithful in proclaiming the simple and plain gospel of who Christ is and what He has done for our salvation. Now, I'm not saying that the supplemental things such as building relationships or even meeting the physical needs of those that are in need are not important. They are important and helpful. But ultimately, if we want to win souls for Christ, we need to proclaim Christ to the lost. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thirdly, as we think about sharing the gospel, let us also understand the powerful role that Holy Spirit plays in opening the eyes of the lost. And so let us not just pray for opportunities for the gospel, but let us also be fervent in praying to God to open the eyes of those whom we reach. And I shared about how the gospel came to my family, first to my dad. The missionary shared the gospel with him for about 3 years. They kept on coming back to Nepal. They kept on staying in his hotel and kept on pouring into his life. But throughout those 3 years, those missionaries fervently prayed for his salvation. May we also be fervent in our prayers, not only for the opportunities to share the gospel, but also for the salvation of those whom we will reach. Christians, does this encourage you? Does this encourage you that we do not need a seminary education or be well equipped in our speech to share the gospel? We just need to be willing to share about who Christ is and what Christ has done for our salvation to those around us. And God will use us in a most unexpected ways to save a lost soul. That's why Paul writes in verse 7, look at verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." See, God put this treasure, which is the gospel, that can change people's eternity in fragile, unworthy, earthen vessels, which is us. So through us, He can do some amazing things that only He can do. Think about what Paul is teaching us here. God does not need stronger vessels. He needs available, faithful ones. And it is Him who saves. In the 18th century, one Sunday in the middle of a snowstorm at a Methodist church in England, the minister could not make it to the church because of the weather. So a layman, an untrained preacher, stepped up to the pulpit and preached an unpolished sermon. even struggling to pronounce the words as he spoke from Isaiah 45 verse 22. A 15-year-old young man who attended that service because he could not make it to his usual church because of the weather, got saved that day. We know about him today by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Only God can do something like this, isn't it? Unusual circumstance, unusual messenger, but a mighty God. I was just in a church in North Carolina a few weeks ago, and I met an elderly man named Bob, faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't tell me this story. Somebody else told me this story of him. But one time, Bob got pulled over by this highway patrol for speeding. And Bob used that opportunity to share the gospel with the officer. And the very moment, the officer repented of his sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I asked Bob about this story. And he said, yeah, he got saved that day. But he still gave me the speeding ticket. See, only God can do something like this, isn't it? Unusual circumstances, unusual messenger, but a mighty God. A few years ago, me and Brenna, we had the opportunity to go to Nepal for our survey trip. As the trip got closer, my heart was burdened for my great-grandma, who was 104 years old then. She died a few months ago at the age of 106. But back then, she was alive. And for more than 100 years, she was a devoted Hindu. So as the trip got closer, I was burdened to share the gospel with her, but also got a little scared. Right? Sometimes it's harder to share with family than with strangers, isn't it? I was also scared about what I was going to say to her. What am I going to tell this 104-year-old lady who has probably seen everything under the sun? That you need to stop believing in what you have believed for more than 100 years. All of that is false. And you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or else you will spend your eternity, which is longer than 100 years, in a place called hell. How do you say that to a 104-year-old, right? That what you have believed for this long is actually vanity. That it has no eternal value. Felt a little scared. So I'd asked many in our sending church to pray for this. And they fervently prayed for our salvation. They didn't care about our survey trip anymore. They cared for my great-grandma after that. And I finally gathered up the courage and went to her and shared the gospel. And I pleaded with my great-grandma that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. And that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. And I pleaded with her to repent of her sins and believe in Christ alone for her salvation. We had about an hour and a half long gospel conversation. And after hearing this, my mua, at 104 years old, looked at me and said, if Jesus is the only Lord, and if he's the only one that can save me, then I want him. Amen. Our jaws dropped, and I had the privilege to lead her to Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, it wasn't my clever or persuasive words that did the job. It was a simple gospel shared with my broken Nepali by this flawed messenger. But the mighty power of God invested in the message that opened the spiritual eyes of my great-grandma to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, my great-grandma's physical sight was very poor. Yet her spiritual eyes were opened for the first time by our Lord. Amen. Only God could do something like this, isn't it? Unusual circumstance, unusual messenger, but a mighty God. That day taught me what great responsibility we have in this world. But more than that, what mighty power that is at work when we go forth and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you, if you have friends and family members that need to hear the good news, pray for their salvation and go forth and boldly proclaim Christ. If they reject, keep on praying, keep on sharing. See, my mua, my great-grandma had heard the gospel many times before that day too. And know that not all may respond in the same way that my great-grandma did. But in God's sovereign plan, there will be some whose eyes will be opened to the truth, and they will respond with repentance and faith in Christ. But if we don't go tell them, who will? Charles Spurgeon once famously said this: if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees. We should be bold preachers of the gospel because it is God's method to bring people to salvation. And lastly, we should be bold preachers of the gospel, embracing the suffering that comes with it. And this is when things get a little uncomfortable. We should be bold preachers of the gospel, embracing the suffering that comes with it. As we continue to proclaim the gospel in this world, we will face affliction and persecution, but we must not be surprised by that. Neither should it stop our obedience. Paul understands that better than anyone. Look at verses 8 to 11. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Who among us thinks that the spreading of the gospel around the world is an easy task? Do you really think that there will ever be a time when pushing back darkness that is in this world through the light of Jesus Christ is going to be easy? Like we read in verses 4 and 5, the God of this world has blinded the world. And as we preach Christ to them, the light of Christ is shining in the world. And in that spiritual warfare, there will always be resistance. And it should not surprise us. Ministry, missions is never going to be easy, as long as we're doing what Christ has asked us to do, which is make disciples among the nations. Even Jesus taught this to us. And think about this, we follow a Savior who sends us, his disciples, as sheep among the wolves. Not a great place for sheep to be, is it? The more passionate we are to spread the gospel, the more we will suffer. Not because we're seeking suffering, but because we're preaching Christ. But as Paul writes in verse 11, suffering for the gospel accompanies the spreading of the gospel. And all of it is by design from God. It is not by accident. God often uses suffering of his servants as means of grace to others. So instead of shying away from suffering, we should learn to embrace it and suffer well. You know, when I grew up, I heard about this missionary from Australia. He was missionary to India. And I heard about the story, and this story has still impacted me. This missionary would go to the remote parts of India and share Jesus' film and share the gospel to the people. I didn't have this in notes, but the Lord is leading me to share this story with you. One evening, this missionary had shared the gospel in this remote part in India. And the wife was at home. The missionary and the children were sharing the gospel. They came back and they were spending the night in their car. And next day, trying to go to the next village to share the gospel. While they were sleeping in this car, a mob of radical Hindus came and burned them alive. This became an international news as the missionary and the children died. The government of India started pursuing those that killed the missionaries. They caught them. They brought them to the court. They were all baffled by the evilness and the actions of these people. At one point, the government asked the wife of the missionary, how would you want them to be punished? What would you want for us to do with them? To which the wife said, it is not my desire that they be punished, but be forgiven, that they may know after Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be reformed. In her affidavit, she forgave the killer of her husband and her children. Brothers and sisters, many people heard the gospel through her message. I was hugely impacted by her story. Many times God uses the suffering of his servant as means of grace to others. So instead of shying away from suffering, we should learn to embrace it and suffer well. Not only that, but we are never more confirmed to the image of Christ than when we suffer for the gospel so others can hear the good news and have eternal life. That is why Paul concludes in verse 12, look at this, so then death is working in us, but life in you. Jesus suffered so we can live. And now we suffer for the gospel so others can also live through our Lord and Savior. All this to say, if we are going to be obedient in fulfilling his mission, it is not going to come without a cost and sacrifice. For some, that might be sacrifice of our finances as we give to missions. For some, that might be sacrifice of our relationships as we put that online for sharing the gospel with our friends and family. For some, it might be sacrifice of our comfort and ease as we leave our home and go to another nation and share the gospel. And for some, it might be the privilege of sacrifice of our own lives as we face persecution for saying Christ. But one thing is for sure. Suffering may be inevitable, but God's mission is unstoppable. And I was in Nepal this last year, and I was with my friend who's a doctor, and as we were having lunch, I was telling him my plan, or our plan to move to Nepal. Now he's not a believer, but as I was sharing with him my plan, his immediate remark to me was, why? Why would you come back to Nepal? More so, why would you bring your family and move here? I still remember his exact comments. He said to me, they don't even like Christians here. Because the news of missionaries getting arrested often circulate among the people. One dear friend of mine who's a street preacher was just arrested last year and has been deported to States with 7-year ban for preaching the gospel. So my friend's comment out of concern for me and my family was, why would you come back? More so, I'm an immigrant in this country. Legally, by the way. I have to mention that nowadays. Yeah? And like every immigrant of the United States, has a desire to achieve the American dream. And so my friend was also like, I would give everything to have what you have. A chance for the American dream. And you're leaving all that to come back here. It made no sense to him that I would choose to move my family back to the nation that may bring persecution for my faith. But as we study our passage, the need of the world, but at the same time also mighty power that is at work among us in the works of mission, and even how suffering of the gospel actually fuels the spreading of the gospel, it makes every sense to take the gospel to even the hardest of the hardest places, isn't it? More so, preaching of the gospel means that yes, suffering is inevitable, but God's mission is unstoppable, and ultimately, eternity with Christ will be proof that it was all worth it. Eternity with Christ will be proof that it was all worth it. Not $1 that we spend on missions. Not 1 second that we spend on serving Christ. Not one persecution that we may face in saying Christ is going to go into vanity. None of it. It will all be worth it. In fact, look at how Paul ends this glorious chapter. Look at verses 16 to 18 real quick. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We should all be bold preachers of the gospel, because this is the ministry given to us by God. We should all be bold preachers of the gospel, because it is God's method to bring people to salvation. And we should all be bold preachers of the gospel, embracing the suffering that comes with it. So how do we respond? Maybe you are here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. But by God's mercy, you are here. And I want you to know that your sins separate you from God. And if you die in your sins, you will be eternally separated from God and will have to pay the wages for it. There is no going around it. And while you cannot do anything about it, God, by His grace, out of His love, sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to live a perfect life that we could not live, and to die the death that we all deserve on the cross. And Jesus, with His death, paid the price of the sins of His people, and with His resurrection, defeated the power of death and sin, so that whosoever believes in Him will also not perish, but receive eternal life. Only in Jesus will you find forgiveness of your sins and restoration of your relationship with God. Maybe you've heard this gospel before, but never responded to it. If God has opened your eyes this morning to this truth, I plead with you to repent of your sins and call Him to be your Lord and Savior today. Come and talk to me or any of the leaders or elders of your church if you have any questions about that. But I pray that each one of us here this morning will leave this room knowing where our eternity is. Christians, don't just listen to this and leave without responding. The same God who said, "Let there be light," has shown His light in your heart. Not so that you would hide that light, but so that you would carry it into the darkness. You don't need to be stronger. You don't need to be smarter or more polished. You simply need to be willing. The gospel is the treasure. You are the earthen vessels. So open your mouth and speak of Christ with boldness, at home, at work, in your neighborhood, trusting God to open blind eyes. May this be your response this morning. If Lord is stirring your hearts to be more involved in global missions with your prayers and sacrificial giving so others can go, let this be your response this morning. And if the Lord is stirring your hearts towards missions, to take the gospel to any other nation where there is a need, don't resist, don't delay, don't negotiate. Lay down your comfort, your plans, your fears, and say, "Lord, here I am, send me." Listen, when Christ comes back, when our Lord comes back, how we lived our life and used our resources to advance His kingdom is what matters. That is what matters. Will you respond this morning? The world is blind, but the gospel is glorious. And God uses weak people like us to fulfill His mission. So my question is, will you hold back, or will you go all in for the mission of God? I want to end our time by sharing one of my favorite quotes by one of my faith heroes. His name is C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd, the name itself says he was a stud of a man. Right? C.T. Studd played cricket for England. But in the peak of his career, his lucrative career, he gave up his career to be a missionary to China and India. Because in his mind, if my life is all about playing cricket, this has no meaning. This has no eternal value. So he gave his life to share the gospel to India and China. When C.T. Studd was getting old, his missionaries was telling him to come and retire. He's like, "There's no retirement for sharing the gospel." So he moved to Africa and spent the rest of his life sharing the gospel in Africa. C.T. Studd wrote one poem called "Only One Life." I want to end our time by giving you the quote of the theme of that poem. It goes by like this. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May we also use our life and resources to pursue things that matters for eternity. Or the main thing that is God's mission. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you how much you have challenged and changed me as I was preparing this message. I pray that you will also speak to the hearts of the people of this church. That, Lord, this gospel ministry is not just for select few. It's for every believer to go to the world and make disciples of the nations. And we each play a part in this. But Lord, may we also be confident in knowing that this is the ministry not given to us out of our merit, not because we're educated or we know much about the Bible. This is the ministry given to us by the mercy of God. And this ministry thrives by the power of God. So we can with confidence go and share the gospel of what we know about Christ and what Christ has done. And what great confidence and motivation it is to know that when we flawed messengers go forth and tell the world about Jesus, God, you use that to lead people to repentance and faith. I'm so thankful that by your mercy you sent missionaries to my family. But Lord, who are we going to go tell about Jesus Christ? I pray that each one of us here will respond to be more involved in your mission for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
I invite you to maintain your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a quiet minute of reflection. Where you allow your mind to go next is very important. You must confront this question. Has the light of the gospel of God in Christ shined into your heart? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins? For those of you who were to answer no, you can be saved today. Repent and believe the gospel, and God has promised to forgive your sins and give you new life. For those of you who say, yes, I am confident that Jesus Christ is my Savior, I ask you, how confident are you in the gospel that it can save those around you? Are you willing to proclaim the gospel, to preach it, to pray it, to share it without tampering, without changing it, to present the clear truth of Christ to all who will hear? We must confront that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you to take a moment of reflection on those two questions as our men come forward. We're going to celebrate the death of Christ. Only those who are saved, baptized, and trusting in him for the forgiveness of their sins should partake. If you are not certain that you are a Christian, I urge you today, do not take of the Lord's Supper.